It's Tuned to Yesterday, broadcasting shows from the golden age of radio. I'm your host, Mark LeVernier. Welcome. Coming up in this hour, Radio Horror. In a while, we'll hear Mystery in the Air with Peter Lorre and the story The Mask of Medusa. Right now, it's The Haunting Hour with radio actor Frank Lovejoy from NBC syndication released in 1945. The story, Date in the Dark.
Stay where you are. Do not break the stillness of this moment. For this is a time of mystery. A time when imagination is free and moves forward swiftly, silently. This is the Haunting Hour. In the Dark. Midnight. Midnight in the metropolis, town of a thousand moods and contrasts, of wealth and lightness and laughter, of poverty, heartbreak, and tears, of shadowy people and dark, dark things. Big city, hard-boiled and tender, weak and mean and cheap, without dignity, and great and proud and powerful. And the metropolis at midnight, filled with the high spirits of joy-seekers, revelers who give way to the goodness of living or try to forget the badness of living. Midnight that is brooding, sinister. The sounds of the big city at midnight, the squeaks and roars of taxicabs, the rumble of trucks, the moan of river boats, and underground, the subway. And under and above, the sounds of the people. Shrill, ribald, futile. But there is quiet, too, in the teeming city at midnight. The quiet that is broken by the wail of a child, the rattle of a snore, or, as in the home of Earl Breton, a private detective and his partner, Owen Bailey, called the professor, the telephone rings, and the professor answers it.
Hello? Earl Breton? No, this is Mr. Bailey, Breton's partner. Who's calling?
This is Bill Henderson. Is Earl here?
Just a moment. It's Bill Henderson, Earl. Do you want to talk to him?
Bill Henderson? What does that crooked politician want?
Sounds very anxious.
Oh, that's too bad. Tell him I'm very busy. I gotta go to sleep.
Hello, Mr. Henderson.
Yeah?
I'm sorry, but Mr. Breton is not in...
Bailey. If Earl doesn't talk to me, he may be responsible for my death.
I can't possibly see how that...
All right, let me have the phone, Professor. Hello, Anderson.
Is you, Earl?
Yeah, what's on your mind?
I gotta see you right away, Earl. Can you meet me down at your office?
Office hours are from 10 to 2, Anderson. You know that. I'll see you tomorrow.
No, wait, Earl, wait. I tell you, you gotta see me tonight.
Now, look, I can't...
Wait until tomorrow, because I may never get there tomorrow.
How do you figure?
I can't explain it on the phone, but I know what I'm talking about. I gotta see you tonight. Gotta.
Where are you now?
I'm at my house.
Okay, give me a few minutes to get a cup of something warm. I'll meet you down at the office.
Ah, thanks a million, Earl.
Never mind the thanks. Bring some money with you.
Don't worry about that, Earl. This is worth anything to me.
Bye.
What seems to be his trouble, Earl?
Well, he's probably swindled one guy too many.
Good.
What do you mean, good?
I mean, he picked a good time for it. We can very well use the money, you know.
Well, you can start drawing the bill now, Professor. And remember, after office hours, it's triple the usual.
Here comes the elevator now, Earl.
If we ever make enough dough, Professor, remind me to move out of this broken-down building.
All buildings are pretty much alike at this hour of night.
How do they expect one old guy to take care of this whole thing by himself?
He manages if you don't rush him.
Yeah.
The devil has got his finger on it. It's you, Mr. Britton. Fraser, you'll never be known as a patient man.
I hate waiting for elevators, old-timer.
Good evening, Mr. Bailey.
Good evening.
You've got lots to do around here, haven't you?
Sure. I've got to make the rounds, you know.
How's business?
Very slow, Mr. Britton. You're the only two people I've seen all night.
Hey, it's pitch black out here, isn't it?
You want me to put the hall lights on?
Don't bother, old-timer. We'll make it.
It might help if you throw your flashlight beam down the hall.
Oh, sure thing. How's this?
That's fine. Here. I've got the key, Earl.
Right. Thanks, old-timer. We're okay now.
I'll be seeing you on the way, Charlie.
Now, if I can just find the switch. Here.
What's the matter with the light?
Looks like the switch don't work.
It's working all right when I left this evening. Where'd I find the desk lamp?
Find it, Earl?
Yeah. You didn't take the bulb out of this lamp, did you, Professor?
Of course not.
I've got an idea, Professor, that we have company.
You're a very smart chap, Breton.
Who's that?
Just stay where you are, both of you, and don't ask any questions. Mr. Breton knows that those lights are not out by accident, but if either of you makes a false move, there could be one.
What are you looking for?
Information.
And why keep us in the dark?
There's enough light for me from that street lamp shining in your window. I can see you both.
What do you want to know?
I understand, Breton, that you got some new dope on the Kennedy murder. Am I right?
Kennedy murder? Why, the police gave Kennedy up as a suicide 5 years ago. What would I be...
Stay where you are, Breton. I told you I can see.
Yeah, sure. Seems kind of... Yeah, I guess our visit is a little touchy, Professor.
You didn't believe that I could see you. Next time, I won't miss. Now, give it to me straight.
I told you I don't like the smell of a body that's been buried 5 years, and I ain't digging it up. Now, what else do you want?
Mr. Breton, are you in there?
Don't make a move.
Mr. Breton, Mr. Bailey, whatever happened to
you? Okay, I hope you get a big kick out of beating up a helpless old guy. That was very tough. Very.
Just Professor, I got it. What happened, Earl? Where are you?
Right over here where that voice was coming from, and he's not here.
Maybe he moved over to another corner of the room.
Step behind something, Professor. I'm going to let him in.
Careful now, Earl.
Well, I'll be. There's nobody here.
Who's that lying in the doorway?
Wait a minute. Looks like the old-timer. Here's his flashlight. I'll turn it on.
Put him in this chair, Earl.
No, it's too late, Professor. He's dead.
Dead?
That dirty rat killing a sweet, harmless old man.
Hmm. Wait, what's this here on the floor?
Let me see.
Hotel key.
Hotel Markham, room 517.
Think that fell out of the old man's pocket?
No, that's a mobster's hotel. It's full of gamblers and racket men.
Then that means if we go to room 517, we ought to be able to find out the man who did this.
You don't find anybody in that hotel. You smoke them out. Besides, that key might have been stolen just so somebody could plant it here. Don't you see that?
Then how are we going to know?
The voice, Professor. I'll never forget that voice. I'm promising the old man now that I'll find it.
Well, what do we do, Earl?
You go find Henderson and tell him we won't be able to see him tonight. I'm going to the Hotel Markham. Meet me there as soon as you're through. In front of the hotel.
And what about the old man?
On our way out, we'll ring the night alarm. That'll bring the police.
But aren't we going to tell them what happened?
Right now, Professor, we don't know any more than they do. Come on, let's go.
Anything I can do? Oh, hello, Breton.
How's the hotel business?
Oh, we don't complain.
Uh-huh. Who's up in room 517?
Who wants to know?
I understand there's a game going on.
No?
No, I'd like to get in.
Well, there's a gentleman by the name of Sparrow rented the room. Maybe you know him.
That's all I wanted to hear. You can tell my good friend, Mr. Sparrow, I'm coming right up.
Don't worry. I will.
Oh. By the way, I hear there's a shortage of keys. You still lose many of them?
Certainly we do. Every day.
Variant. Variant.
Well, what goes here, fellas? My old pal, Earl Breton.
How are you, Sparrow?
Fine, fine. Come on in.
How's the game?
Pretty good. You want to take a hand?
Yeah, maybe. How long have you been playing?
Oh, about 12 hours. Now, meet the boys. All right, fellas. This is Dan Huber. He's new in this town.
Yeah? Didn't take you long to find this place, did it, Dan?
Me? I got a nose for this stuff.
Yes. And you know Harry Jackson, Earl, don't you?
Sure, I know Harry. How are you, Harry?
Fine.
What did you say, Harry?
I said I'm fine. That's what I said.
Uh-huh, sure.
Now, this is Willie Garvin, and over
well,
here...
Well, that's a funny name, Willie.
What's funny about it?
Well, how do you spell it?
G-A-R-V-I-N. Why? Does it sound familiar?
No, Willie, no.
And I don't have to introduce you to my partner, Joe Murray, huh?
Hello, Joe.
Hello.
Funny to find you and Sparrow in the same game, Joe.
What's funny about that?
Well, after all, you and Sparrow are partners, aren't you?
Nobody said for you, Breton, and if you don't like what goes on here, you can shove off.
Come on, Earl. When are you going to stop burning up Joe? Anyhow, he just came in a few minutes ago. So we really just started playing together.
Oh, just came in a few minutes ago. Where were you, Joe?
Since when do I report to you?
Well, I'm just curious, that's all.
I told you before, Breton, I don't like coppers, and that still goes. Now, let's get the game going.
Well, Earl, you taking a hand?
Sure, sure, but... First, I got to get the professor. He's got my dough. I'll be back in a few
minutes. Wait a minute, Breton. What are you trying to pull? Why didn't you bring your dough in the first place?
I just wanted to see who was in the game.
Oh, sure, Joe. He's got a right to know. Go ahead, Earl. Get your dough. Don't forget to come back, huh? Otherwise, it wouldn't look so good, huh?
Sure, don't worry. I'll be back. You've been waiting, Professor.
I just got here. Did you find out anything?
No, not a thing. I listened to every voice up there. Not one of them was the right one. How about you? Did you see Henderson?
Yeah, that is, I didn't see him, but I found out about him.
What do you mean, found out about him?
Well, when I got there, Earl, there were a lot of people outside the house, and the police were there.
Police? What happened?
Henderson was murdered.
It was midnight when the phone rang in the home of Earl Breton, a private detective. A man named Henderson was calling. Henderson, a crooked politician who insisted he was in danger of being killed and that he had to see Breton immediately. Earl agreed to meet him in his office. But when he and his partner, the professor, arrived a few minutes later, they were faced with a peculiar situation. The lights in the office wouldn't work. And before they could investigate, a voice challenged them from the darkness. Their unknown visitor fired at them, purposely missing, in order to warn them that he meant business. The sound of the gun attracted the attention of the night watchman. He came to investigate and was killed by the intruder, who disappeared, leaving Earl with the old man's body and a clue. The key to room 517 at the Hotel Markham. They rang the police alarm and Earl sent the professor to intercept Henderson, to break the appointment they had with him. Then he went to the hotel, to room 517, where he expected to find the killer. He interrupted a card game, but Sparrow, the gangster who was registered in 517, invited Earl to sit in, much to the displeasure of his partner, Joe Murray. Breton accepted, promising to return soon. He went down to the street where the professor was waiting. The professor had news for him. Henderson had been murdered.
How did you find out he was murdered, Professor?
I overheard two policemen talking to one another.
Did the cops know you were there?
Oh, no. We wouldn't want them to know we was interested, would we?
Good for you, Professor.
But now that I think of it, Earl, shouldn't we tell the police what we know?
Well, that's a good idea, except that we don't know anything they can't find out for themselves.
But they don't know that Henderson called us to meet him at the office. And then when we got there, we met somebody else. And it was that somebody else who killed the night watchman.
I know there's some connection between those two things, Professor. In fact, if I didn't know Henderson's voice so well...
You'd say that it was the man at the office who imitated it?
Sure, that's an old trick. A man disguises his voice to sound like... Hey, just a minute, Professor. Why couldn't it be...
You mean you actually think that the man we met in the office was the one who called us earlier and he imitated Henderson's voice?
No, no, no. That'd be too obvious. The killer's much cleverer than that.
But you do think he had something to do with both of the murders?
Certainly. If he didn't, how would he know that we were coming down to the office at midnight? He was expecting us. So he must have been with Henderson at the time Henderson called us.
If you don't mind my saying so, Earl, it doesn't make sense. Why should this man have bothered to come down to our office just to ask us about some murder case that was over and forgotten 5 years ago?
That's just it, Professor. He didn't want that information at all. That was just to throw us off the track. That was why he left the key there when he slugged the old man and disappeared.
You mean he actually wanted us to follow him here to the Hotel Markham?
Don't you see? He was trying to establish the alibi that he was playing cards in this hotel at the time of the murder. And he could force us to testify as police witnesses that we saw him here.
Then why don't we tell that to the police?
Oh, Professor, you're slipping. You know the police don't want ideas. They've got their own. Besides, if we don't know whose voice we heard, what can we tell them?
Well, at least we can tell them that it was somebody who's up in that hotel room now.
Sure, sure. But can we prove it?
I guess not. But then what can we do?
We gotta go upstairs and find out who that phony voice belongs to.
But our life can be very short in a place like this. I mean, I'm not thinking about me.
I know, Professor, I know. But I made a promise to that old watchman that I'd find the guy who killed him, and I like to keep a promise.
But we ain't got enough money to play cards with those people.
They don't know that.
Well, I don't think it should take them more than one hand to find out.
All right, then you'll have to stall. Now, one of those guys up there has a phony British voice.
So?
Listen.
Stay where you are, Breton. I told you, I can see.
How's that?
If I wasn't looking at you, I'd swear it was the guy in the room.
Good, good. That's all I wanted to know.
I knew you'd keep your promise to come back, Earl.
Oh, why not? This is my night, Sparrow.
Well, come on, take a chair.
I think I'll let the professor play for me. I do much better when I'm looking over his shoulder.
Suit yourself.
Let's get going. You're holding up the game.
How many chips, Professor?
That's up to Earl.
Chips? Why, what do you say we start off with $10 worth, Professor? I got a hunch.
I guess that's all right.
Wait a minute. Who are you kidding, Breton? Since when do you figure you can get in on this game for $10?
That's just a starter, Joe. I always like to play hunches.
But you've got more than that, haven't you, Earl?
You know better than ask me that, Sparrow.
Yeah? We'll see. Okay, deal them out.
Joe, if I didn't know that you just came into this game a little while ago, I'd figure that you were losing plenty.
Why?
Oh, you're so touchy.
I open. $5.
Raise your ten.
I'm out.
Well, playing it safe, Professor.
I'd rather not explain my game.
Maybe if Joe played it safer, he wouldn't be so worried all the time.
Oh, Joe. Joe's got lots on his mind.
I don't know, Sparrow. You're Joe's partner. You never seem to worry like he does.
What do you mean, worry? Who says I'm worried? I'm just careful, that's all. I don't trust nobody, see?
Nobody? You mean not even Sparrow, your own partner?
I said nobody.
Oh, Joe thinks maybe I talk too much.
That's right.
I didn't hear you say anything out of place, Sparrow.
He thinks I made a mistake telling you he just came into the game a little while ago.
I told you to shut up, Sparrow.
Oh, come on, Joe. You don't have to be afraid of Earl Breton.
He's a cop, and I told you don't have to know nothing.
He wouldn't repeat anything he heard up here, would you, Earl?
I always play it safe.
I think you're all right, Earl.
Mind if I stand up?
Where are you going?
I just want to walk around a little bit, stretch my legs.
Just don't go looking at any hands.
Okay. I'll stand over here by the wall.
You're going to let the professor play by himself?
Sure. Hey, this is a very interesting electric light switch.
You guys don't cut the chatter, I'll blow this game off.
Hey, wait a minute.
Put those lights out. Put the lights on.
What are you getting so crazy about, Joe? You act as if you just murdered someone.
Put up the lights, I said, quick.
I'm sorry, Joe. That was my mistake. I didn't know the light switched off this way.
Shut up. And you, Sparrow. What was the idea of saying I murdered someone?
What are you talking about, Joe? I didn't say anything.
Don't give me that stuff. I heard you. You can't fool me with that phony voice you put on.
I told you I didn't say anything.
Oh, yeah? Well, I happen to know that nobody else but you talks that way.
That's your dope. Didn't you know that wasn't my voice?
Sparrow, if you're trying to pull anything...
Okay, Joe. Sparrow's right. Now, don't get sore. It was my fault. I didn't know.
That ain't the point, Breton.
I want to know what he's trying to pull. And it ain't none of your business, copper.
I just wanted to tell you I'm sorry. It was my voice you heard, Joe.
What? Are you? All right, what's the game, Breton?
No game, Joe. Just a joke, that's all.
Sure, Joe, just a joke. Very funny, too. Can't you take a joke, Joe?
Nuts. All right, Breton. You want to stay in this game, get up some real dough or beat it.
Okay, I'll come clean with you. That's all the dough we got with us right now. If you let me go in the next room and make a call, I'll get some sent up here right away.
Why, sure. You want to use the phone, huh? Yes, it's right in the next room.
Thanks, Burrow. Give me Spring 7-3-100.
Spring 7-3-100?
Right.
Oh, you're kidding. That's police headquarters. Hey, have you any complaints to make? Hey, wait a minute. What goes on here?
It's one of your keys.
Oh, hello, Sparrow. I can't say much for your phone service.
No? What's the matter with it?
They wouldn't get a number for me.
I see. Who you're calling is so important.
The police. I guess you can wait.
Well, say, I'm glad you came in here, Breton. I wanted to have a little talk with you. Alone.
You wouldn't use that revolver right here in this room, would you?
Wouldn't I? You know, I can do pretty much as I want to in this hotel. You know that, don't you?
Yeah. But if you killed me now, wouldn't you have to tell Joe why you did it?
Well, what do you mean?
I mean, wouldn't you have to tell him that you were tired of being partners with him and Henderson? That you wanted the whole racket for yourself? So that you killed Henderson, trying to make it look as though Joe did it so he could take a rap?
If you're trying to talk loud so Joe will hear you, I might as well tell you, he just left.
Well, at least I found out it was you who slugged the night watchman in my building tonight.
So what?
Just that you killed him, that's all.
You shouldn't have gotten away.
Then you're admitting that you killed Henderson and the watchman?
Only to you, Breton. And I'll tell you why. Because I'm going to make sure that you'll never be able to tell it to the cops. See?
I don't have to tell them, Sparrow. They know about it already.
Oh, sure. You gave them all this information before you came up here.
No, I didn't tell them. You did.
You know something, Breton? I'm beginning to think you're a little bit nuts.
I suppose you wouldn't believe me if I told you the police are listening to you right now? They heard you admit all this to me?
Oh, now, wait a minute. Don't tell me you hid them in my closet.
No. But they're right outside in that room where we were just playing cards.
You're crazy.
Why don't you take a look?
Because I ain't dumb enough to turn my back on you.
Then that makes it easy for them to come in.
Drop the gun, Sparrow. Give it here.
But it is the cops.
We heard the whole thing outside, Breton. Pretty smart.
But how did you get the cops up here?
I didn't get them, Sparrow. You did.
Cut it out, Breton.
It's true. You know the best way to bring the police is to leave a hotel key next to a dead man, and that's what you did.
Yeah, but you picked it up.
Not me. I just made a mental note of it, that's all.
What puzzles me, Earl, is how you know the police were out here when you made Sparrow talk?
Ah, that was easy. When I tried to put through a call before, I heard a voice at the switchboard asking about a key. And I just played a hunch.
Yeah, I'm glad we got here in time. Come along, Sparrow.
Well, Professor, let's go home.
Yes, sir.
Oh, and look, if our phone rings again tonight, don't answer it.
Shadows and stillness, mystery weaves a spell of strangest fascination, charging the mind with doubts and fears. For mystery is a strange companion, a living memory in the haunting hour.
A Date in the Dark on the Haunting Hour on Tuned to Yesterday, that released by NBC Syndication in 1945. It's an hour of horror from radio's past on Tuned to Yesterday, and now Mystery in the Air, Peter Lorre's main radio vehicle, an NBC broadcast next from September 4th, 1947, with Peggy Weber, Russell Thorson, and Stan Waxman joining Mr. Lorre and the Mask of Medusa.
Mystery in the Air, starring Peter Lorre.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you will inspect the 47 wax images you see before you, I think you will admit that they are more lifelike, more startlingly real than any you have ever seen before. But the greatest interest lies in the fact that each one of these figures is a fiendish, sadistic murderer. But come, I begin at the end of the line and describe their horrible crimes.
Yes, yes, there he goes again, telling people all the bad things we did. Oh, it's terrible, being nothing but figures in a wax museum. People staring at us all day long, and not one of them, not one ever suspects that we are still alive.
Each week at this time, Camels bring you Peter Lorre in the excitement of the great stories of the strange and unusual, of dark and compelling masterpieces culled from the four corners of world literature. Tonight, The Mask of Medusa by Nelson Bond. Mystery in the Air, starring Peter Lorre.
How do you like this little fellow, huh?
Oh, he's nice, Carl. I don't believe he ever did anything wrong.
You women, always the same. You heard the lecturer say that every one of these figures is the likeness of a real murderer. Mm. Maybe this little angel poisoned his wife, eh?
I don't believe it. He is too innocent looking.
Oh, they always are.
Except his eyes. They go right through me.
Come out of here before...
Idiots and morons. Can't they see I'm still... No, I suppose not. But I'd like to be alive again. Oh, alive again. I'm alive right now, but I'd be better off dead. I can hear, I can see, I can feel, I can think. But I cannot move. I cannot move at all. No matter.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, if you will regard these recent specimens, and if I may say so myself, they're masterpieces. What's the matter, madam?
That strange-looking little one. I was watching him, and he moved his eyes.
Thank you, madam. That's a true compliment to my artistry. But I assure you, the gentleman did not move his eyes. That would be utterly impossible. He is made of wax and other substances known only to myself.
Rubbish. I'm English, my man, and you can't bamboozle me.
I'm sorry if the realism of my exhibits has played tricks with your imagination.
Imagination, fiddlesticks. I tell you,
if you doubt that my exhibit is exactly as represented, madam, may I return your price of admission?
Oh.
Here you are.
Oh, well, thank you so much.
Now, perhaps if I might suggest a little fresh air.
Well, I do feel a bit faint. All these ghastly crimes, you know.
Of course.
I believe I'll go and have a cup of tea.
To resume, ladies and gentlemen, if you will step over this way, please, you will see exhibit number 3, the infamous hatchet woman of...
This way, exhibit 3. Just listen to him. Day in, day out, we stand here while he talks and talks and talks about us. Oh, he's so boring. All he talks about are those silly incidental murders we committed. Why doesn't he talk how we did them, huh? Well, he and this room are some of the greatest artists in their lines the world has ever known. For example, just look at the ones on each side of me. Here to my left, that's Paul, yes, oh. He was the most skillful man with a scalpel in Prague. He was wonderful. Even today, they haven't found all the pieces of the bodies he carved up now. And on my right is the beautiful, beautiful Magda. She always killed with a Luger. She used but one bullet to her husband, and she did away with five of them. Yes, indeed, it's an honor to stand between such exquisite artists. And as for me, I can hardly believe it was only 3 days ago that I came in here of my own free will. My own free will.
Good evening, sir.
Good evening.
You wish to see my wax
figures? Wax figures?
Yes. All around you.
Oh, yeah. Yes, of course. And you mean to see... You mean all these people are wax?
But certainly.
You know, for a moment, I thought they were alive.
A very natural mistake.
It is, huh? Wait.
By the way, is anything the matter? You seem nervous.
I'm not
What's
nervous.
The matter with you?
Didn't you hear me? I don't know. That's ugly sound. What is that? Yes, it's gone. I don't like it. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm late. I'm sure you want to close up. I'll go now. Perhaps some other time I'll be back.
Oh, it is never too late to show my masterpieces.
Huh?
But first, I'll lock the door and draw the shade.
Wait.
There. Now then, you don't have to be afraid of being seen.
Afraid? Why should I be afraid, huh?
I don't know. Why should anyone be afraid?
I don't know. Well, I'm in no hurry. Well, I suppose since I'm here, I might as well...
Look over my collection?
Yes, why not?
Good. Permit me to introduce myself. I am Aristide Zweig, owner of this exhibit, artist, and connoisseur of crime.
Artist and connoisseur of crime? That's an odd combination, isn't it?
Not at all, as you shall see. Suppose we begin here. Do you, by any chance, recognize this one?
This one? No. But he's very ugly.
Roger Saunders, Englishman, a poisoner, not very imaginative. Next to him here is Nicholas Rodriguez.
Hey, what?
He killed with the knife.
Wait a minute.
And over here... What's the matter?
Tell me, these people, they all have a strange look.
Strange?
Yes, it's as if they had just seen something horrible and then their faces froze. And...
Perhaps they did see something. Something that made them realize the horror of their crimes.
The crimes? Are these all criminals?
Every one. All 46 of them. Murderers.
You must be very interested in murder to get up a collection like this.
Oh, but I am. It is my mission.
Oh, your mission? What are you talking about?
Murder. Murder, that most horrible of crimes.
Yes.
I hate it. I loathe and despise its perpetrators. It is my mission to show the world these fiends in human form, to display them in all their brutal bestiality,
yes,
that men may view them, tremble, and take heed.
I see. And
yes.
Where do you get your specimen? From the morgue?
Not from the morgue.
No.
I get them here, there, wherever I can find them.
Oh, no,
usually
no.
I have to go out and look for them. As a matter of fact, there is one now I would like to have very much.
Oh, you would.
For my 47 specimen.
Oh.
Yes, he murdered a defenseless old woman quite near here, not half an hour ago it was. I heard it over my radio.
Yeah.
He brutally murdered her and took her life saving.
Yes. Did they catch him?
Not yet. But they will.
Yeah.
They're watching all the roads. And besides that, the old woman's money was in old bills.
Well, right,
so
yeah.
Old, it is now out of circulation.
Mm.
When he tries to pass it, they will know. And if they don't catch him, I will.
You will.
You,
huh?
Yes. Murder must be avenged and exposed by one means or another.
Oh, yeah.
Forgive me for going on like this. Sometimes I get carried away. Let's get back to this next figure. A most interesting case. This man, Hans Schneider,
what?
Who murdered by air embolism.
This is Schneider?
Yes.
Hans Schneider?
Yes.
Look, I knew him. He disappeared. He was never captured. He wasn't even suspected.
None of them were.
How did you get them here?
I told you, sir, I am an artist. I have my own methods of reproducing their likenesses.
Wait a minute. Tell me, is that a model of Schneider, or is that Schneider himself?
How in the world did you happen to guess? You're quite correct. It is Schneider.
But this is monstrous.
Not at all. You just do not understand.
Yes, I do. I understand you. You dirty hypocrite. You say you hate murder, and yet you've killed everyone in this room, you.
No, I didn't kill.
How did you do it, huh? Poison, knife, or did you dip them into boiling wax alive?
None of those things. They're not dead.
They're not dead. What did you say?
They're not dead. They're simply in a state of permanent suspended animation.
Suspended animation. Are you mad? Are you insane?
It's true. I just let them look, and that's what happened.
You let them look at what?
Did you ever hear of the Gorgon's head?
What?
The head of Medusa.
Medusa, yes, of course. I went to school, and I studied Greek mythology. Of course, Medusa was a very beautiful woman,
yes.
and she offended Athena, and Athena changed her hair into snakes and made her face very hideous and so horrible that all who looked on her were turned to stone. And later, I think Perseus cut off her head.
You're right. And the severed head could still turn men to stone.
Yes, yes, I know. But that was a long time ago.
Would you care to look upon it?
What are you talking about?
Oh, it's here. The mask of Medusa was found long ago in a wild, lost grotto in Greece. Where and how does not matter, but it has been the means of fulfilling my sacred mission, the destruction, the cleansing of the world of those who slay their fellow men.
Now I know you're mad.
Perhaps I am the only sane one in a world gone mad.
Oh, sure, sure. Tell me, sir, this mask, what does it look like?
Oh, I have never seen it myself. The native who gave it to me warned me. I do not dare look.
Oh, no, no. I don't blame you. I don't blame you at all. See, listen. Suppose, Mr. Twagg, we talk a little business, you and me, huh?
What do you want?
I want your help to get me out of town.
How can I help you?
Well, that's very simple. Nobody suspects you. Nobody but me. You put me in a crate like one of these 46 models you're so proud of and send it off in a truck. Simple, huh?
But why? Why should I do this?
Why? Because you fear the police as much as I do.
You fear the police? You are a murderer.
I didn't say that.
You are a murderer.
No more than you are.
But I didn't kill them. I told you I didn't kill them.
Yes, yes, you told me. It's a fine story, but who is going to believe it? Police?
Yes.
No, sir, no. If the police come here, then I'll make sure that they'll come here.
It would take money.
Money, money. Here is money, all the money you need.
I thought so.
Why?
That money, those old bills. So it was you. You were the one who murdered the old woman and took her savings. I thought so all along. Yes, I thought so.
Stupid woman, if she hadn't resisted
wait,
me.
Wait, wait. I have something in this cabinet I want to show you.
Look. No tricks. You hear me or the police comes in. Hey, what's
I didn't
that
want
sack?
To do this. I
what
never want to
sack?
Do it, but it must be done.
You don't want to do
look,
what?
Look, murderer, upon the crimson
Why
mask
you
of Medusa.
About you
yes, look. Look upon the
Tony,
mask of Medusa.
My leg.
Look.
It's your mask.
Look.
My hands.
Look. Now, I have number 47.
Now a new crowd is viewing the attractions of Aristide Zweig's wax museum, the lifelike, living but not breathing images of the 47 murderers.
Oh. Come, Hilda. Let's go outside. I don't like this place.
Wait. Here's one we didn't see.
I don't know how you can stand there looking at them. The murderers. And their faces.
This little one isn't so bad. If he was alive, I could go for him.
No, no, he's horrible. Come on, I can't.
Oh, I could crush her skull. Stupid idiots. No, it is not pleasant to be stared at day after day by people who know nothing of life or death, at least not as we know it. the living dead. Yes, that's what we are in here. He is responsible. Oh, if we could only somehow get back to normal, even for a little bit. Oh, what we could do, all of us. What we could do. Yes, suddenly, out of nowhere.
Yes, we there. Can project.
There it is again.
If we try.
Who? Who is what?
Magda, standing next to you.
Yes?
Think hard. Huh? If we all think together, perhaps we can make somebody help us.
Yes. Yes, of course. Oh, that's wonderful, Magda.
Think hard.
She's wonderful, of course. 47 minds trained in crime, all concentrating at once on somebody who comes in here to look. If we try hard enough, we could make him do anything. Maybe we could get him to... No, that's too much to expect, but still... Yes, another day has started, but today I have a feeling of excitement. All night long, we concentrated, and our thoughts were getting stronger and stronger. I'm convinced Magda has gotten through to everyone. I have a feeling that something is going to happen, and just a little while ago there came a thought.
Mike is upstairs in his room.
Yeah?
We must watch the door. When the right one comes, we shall know it at once. Be ready.
I'm ready. Whatever is going to happen, I'm ready. There, the door is opening. Maybe this is it.
Father, I'm frightened. I do not wish to look.
It won't hurt you, Ilsa. Teach you maybe to get over your stupid fears. Now, you look at these figures, every one of them. Do you understand?
Yes, Father.
Now, where is that lecturer? He should be here. I will find him so that he can tell you all about these criminals.
Think hard.
Yes. There's no doubt of it. This little Ilse. Oh, she's the one, yes. She's the one we've been waiting for. She's the kind of mind we need, yes. Oh, how exciting. Thoughts are coming in very strong. Keep thinking, Magda.
And fire.
We can't be free unless something happens to that horrible mask of Medusa over there on the cabinet. If something could happen to that, the spell might be broken. Magda, what are you thinking?
Matches and fire. Matches and fire.
Yes, I've got it. Of course I've got it, yes.
Matches and
fire. Matches and fire.
Father.
Matches and
fire. Father, where
fire.
Are you?
Matches and fire. Fire.
I beg your pardon. Have you seen my daughter? She was here a minute ago. A thin girl, about 16. I have not seen her.
I saw her just now over there by that cabinet, I think it was. She had a box of matches.
Fire! It's worked. All our trained evil minds concentrating on that one small mind. Oh, we simply overwhelmed it. Poor little Ilse. She'll never know why she started that fire. Oh, but it's a big, wonderful fire, and the cabinet is burning. It's burning. What is that? Something's happening.
I've just been able to move the little thing in my left hand. Yes. Yes, we can move. Yes, we are free. We can move. All of us. We are moving. We, the walking dead. Everyone is moving swiftly through the flames. Oh, they can't hurt us. Towards the stairs.
Yes.
Oh, we are a horrible company. Oh, how exciting. White faces. Good. The flames. 47 we are. Murderous, all of us. Surging forward to get the man. The man we hate. Oh, yes, he's a murderer, but he's worse than we are. His victims stay alive. He condemned all 47 of us to a horrible, endless, living death. There, he's behind that door.
It's locked.
Come on, break it down. Break it down, you hear? Come on. Yeah. Yes, we've got him.
What have you done to him?
What have we done? We've taken care of your Medusa. Yes, we have, Aristide, and now. Now we'll take care of
no,
him.
No, please, don't.
Yes,
I will help you. You
will.
Don't know the mask, you fool.
No.
I'll help you. You haven't got much time.
It's
help
coming.
You. I'll help you.
The mask is coming.
It's coming up the stairs.
Kill Twyig. At least we can kill Twyig.
Wait. I have a plan. Get away from that door. Let me get there.
It is here.
Close your eyes.
Look.
Don't look at it.
Too late. They looked. And now they're all gone. All but you and I.
Yes.
Everybody's gone back as they were before.
Yes, they're gone. All gone, but you and I.
You.
And I.
What are you going to do?
I'll show you what I'm going to do. Here. Look, Aristide.
What?
Look here. You hear me?
No.
Yes, yes.
No,
no. You opened
no,
your eyes.
No,
yes,
I can't.
You saw it.
No.
He's looking. You're looking at the crimson mask of Medusa. You, oh, look. Your feet. Oh, well, I know it. Look at your legs, your hands. Oh, you can't. You're not even able to talk anymore. Yes, you. Now you have looked upon the mask of Medusa. You idiot, you. I looked at it, too.
Well. Here we are, back again, yes, all of us. The finest criminal minds in the world. Oh, it's the elite, the cream of crime. Now we are just wax figures in a sideshow. Yes, but now there are 48 of us. Oh, I suppose we should feel honored to have with us the great Aristide Zweig. This way he looks quite natural, yes. Standing over there between Schneider and Paul. And at least he doesn't bore me anymore with his silly, stupid lectures. No, now he doesn't talk at all. Someone called Albert is running the exhibit now. Oh, poor Albert. He's an imbecile. Albert doesn't know there was a mask of Medusa. Oh, we are much more intelligent than poor Albert. He doesn't even know that we are still alive.
Next week, Mystery in the Air, starring Mr. Peter Lorre, brings you an exciting story of gambling and sudden death. The Immortal Queen of Spades by Alexander Pushkin, with a special musical score composed and conducted by Paul Barron.
And folks, be sure to listen to Prince Albert's Grand Ole Opry Saturday night for a half hour of folk songs, fun, and laughter with your favorite folk stars, Red Foley, Minnie Pearl, Rod Brasfield, and the rest of the Opry gang. And as Red's special guest, Jimmy Wakely. Remember, Prince Albert's Grand Ole Opry, Saturday night, over NBC.
Yes, your dream can come true. Your own home, a college education for your son. Travel. Save for them and they'll be yours. Buy U.S. savings bonds. Buy them regularly. U.S. savings bonds are always safe, always profitable. Sign up for the payroll savings plan where you work or the bond a month plan where you bank. Listen again next week at the same time when the makers of Camels present Mr. Peter Lorre in Mystery in the Air. The artists supporting Mr. Lorre tonight were Henry Morgan, Peggy Weber, Lucille Meredith, Stanley Waxman, Russell Thorson, Ben Reich, and Phyllis Christine Morris. This is Michael Roy in Hollywood wishing you all a pleasant good night.
This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.
Mystery in the Air with Peter Lorre, a September 4th, 1947 broadcast first heard on NBC. And the curtain comes down on this hour of radio horror on Tuned to Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great shows from radio's golden age. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark LeVillier. Thanks for tuning in.